Welcome to the planning commission meeting dated Tuesday, October 28th, Cedar Hills, Utah, at the Community Recreation Center.
August, you said October.
I say October.
Don't wish summer to be over yet.
I'm not sure if you're meeting, I have October, my mind's elsewhere, so. Let me start over again. Welcome to the Cedar Hills Planning Commission meeting dated Tuesday, August 28th, at the Community Recreation Center. Now is the time for public comment, and I can see members of the public here, but nobody signed up to make comment. So, is there anybody here who would like to have opportunity to make public comment? You have 3 minutes to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Anybody? Okay. So if you could state your name and address.
Richard Murray, 946 North, 4000 West, Based on here, in case you have any questions about the permit, trying to get a carport. It's being confused as a awning, temporary garage, but it's basically a carport. And for me, I'm from across the United States, and I think it conforms to my area. I'm using it for my RV, park my RV, and protect it from the sun, the snow, and the weather. So I'm here basically getting questions of how far away and where it sits, what kind, I'm here. But most of the stuff is on the permit information. So when I get some papers here, this directly behind me has no problem with it. The other neighbor who lives behind me has no problem with it. And I live in a half acre empty field by the trail. So it's like a, it's not like the nature homes in here. I have the lower east side of the tracks type of house over there. But so if you have any questions, I'm here.
Thank you.
I appreciate your all.
So, just so you were, I don't think this body has seen your actual application, just so you're aware, but so we don't have questions about your specific application. We haven't seen it. Doesn't normally go through, building permit applications don't come with planning commission. So, we haven't seen it actually, so just so you're aware. All right, is anybody else want to make a public comment? So state your name and address.
Okay. I'm Gordon Crawford, 9477 North 3940 West. And I'm his neighbor right in the back fence. So whatever he builds there, I get to look at. And I have no objection whatsoever of him putting any kind of a cardboard cover over his motorhome or anything else, actually. Anything that he puts in there, I get to look at daily. So if it was objectionable, I would object to it, but I don't. I think what he's planning on is very apropos to the neighborhood and to me as a neighbor. So that's my comment, and I have no objections whatsoever.
Thank you. Anybody else want to make a public comment today, tonight? By the way, this topic is a discussion topic. Should it continue to move forward, it'll come back here as a review, like recommendation topic. And should this body recommend that it would then go to the city council or approval? I think that's my understanding of the process. So there won't actually be any decisions or recommendations made tonight. We're just going to talk about it. Any other public comment before I close the public comment portion of the meeting? All right, I'll close the public comment portion of the meeting. I wanted to recognize Jared Anderson, who's a voting member tonight. He's going to open to the voting process. So the next topic on our agenda, scheduled item, is approval of the minutes from the July 31st, 2018 Planning Commission meeting. I was not in attendance, so I don't know whether they're correct or incorrect. I know that some revision was made by Chairman Dodge. He had some comment. I don't know if those made it back to public record or not. I didn't pay close attention, to be honest.
Yeah, they're all in there, all of his revisions. So that's what you will be approving tonight are the minutes that have Commissioner Dodge's revisions.
Okay.
They're in your packet.
I move we approve the minutes from July 31st, 2018, Planning Commission.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? So. All right.
I will make a motion that we reverse the order of items 4 and 5 on the agenda.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so now the next topic on the agenda is discussion on accessory structures.
So the genesis of this discussion item did come from Mr. Murray's carport application, which is, of course, not before this body, nor is this the approval body for that. Merely, as Chairman Briggs stated, this is a land use issue, so because we haven't public noticed this item, we can't take action on it or make any recommendation to the City Council. But in reviewing the code, I think this is something that is going to come back to the Planning Commission, so I expect in September, possibly October, to have some revisions to the code, which will then be either recommended for approval or not approval to the City Council, and they will make their decision. So there's a process that we need to follow there. But tonight, just to get the ball rolling, we wanted to have this discussion so that you're all aware of possibly an issue that we would like to correct. And I don't see a completely clean solution. I think that it's kind of a convoluted issue. It deals with portions of the code in a couple different sections, not just by 10.29, but that's the one we're talking about tonight. So if you've had the opportunity to review the code in 10.529, this section of the code is entitled Decks, Porches, Patios, Pergolas, Awnings, Hot Tubs, and Similar Structures. So I don't know how hot tubs is really in there, but it's there. It actually used to include recreational equipment, too, like swings and trampolines, but you removed that as it wasn't really pertaining to what the code is about. The issue here is that there's been a carport application. We have lots of carports in the city, but most people don't get the ability to enter carports. So we commend Mr. Murray for doing it the proper way. But the portion of the code is that the building department treats carports like bodies, and that's why this code is relevant. And I don't know that that's necessarily the appropriate strategy to do. I think that there might be some changes needed there. But the specific piece of code that we're looking at here is 10-5-29A3A. Let me read it to you. It says, prior to issuing a building permit, the chief building official shall make a finding whether the materials and finish of the proposed structure are in harmony with the primary structure and the surroundings as a whole, and issue a permit with a positive finding. I think it's terribly written code. It doesn't really say what harmony means. It could be, is that harmony in height, in width, in materials, colors? It could mean a lot of different things. Nor does the building official feel like that's an appropriate use of the building official's capacity. So I think that this is something that needs to be looked at. But as I thought about it a little bit closer, it's these things that we're talking about, decks, porches, patios, pergolas, awnings, are typically items, structures that are attached to a home. So you would want them to be similar in nature to the home, right? But a carport is a little bit different. It's not, in this case, it's not attached to the home at all. So it doesn't cleanly fit under any of these guidelines. It's more like an accessory structure. And so the The issue here is probably twofold in that whenever a building permit comes in, it goes through two different sets of review through staff. It goes through the zoning review and it goes through the building review. In this case, zoning is saying, well, it, because we treat this as zoning, it has to be a material that's similar in nature to the home, where carports normally aren't, you know. So that's something I think that the Planning Commission is has the purview to make a recommendation to council to either flesh out some code related to carports, specifically how you want to see them in the community. But the other aspect of it is the building side, which the Planning Commission and the City Council don't get to typically delve in and change the building code. The city just adopts the standard building codes, and then it's up to the building official to have their own building permit meet those requirements. And in this case, it's like various snow loads, it's various houses being attached to the ground. What's the engineering on a structure like this? So those are kind of issues that, and I've spoken with Mr. Murray, I'm going to speak with him again tomorrow when we visit him on site. Those are a separate issue, but I think we can address the zoning portion of it in that my thoughts are in this 10.5.29 code, if it's a deck, porch, patio, pergola, awning, and it's attached to the home, I think it's wise to have that be of a material that's similar in nature to the home. But a carport's not attached to the home, like I said. And so carports are typically metal structures, and so you don't see them, you don't see a metal home a lot. So we're looking for some thoughts and input from the Planning Commission and then from the City Council on drafting code to meet the needs, because we want to be able to allow Mr. Murray to be able to do something like this. And in our code right now, we do have a definition for carport, but it's not found anywhere else in the code, which is kind of strange. So what we'd like to do is, I think that there's a mechanism that would allow staff to approve the carport with the, if there's the building permit, if they're showing that the application meets the building requirements. But this doesn't address carports in general. This application would proceed in carport code. That makes sense.
So, so this full disclosure to the body issue where I live immediately behind Mr. William Murray's property. And I too I'll probably have a more view of this than probably anybody else, probably even more than Mr. Murray, because unless he goes out and looks at his side yard all the time. But my kitchen window, my master bedroom window, my master bath window, my whole rear of my home overlooks this particular topic, just so where he's gonna pull his look. And Mr. Murray approached me and asked me, you know, some few questions along the way, so I'm familiar with what he's trying to do. And I'll share my opinion on the topic after you guys read out your thoughts. One question I have, Chandler, is, so on occasion, and I'm not saying Mr. Murray has this opinion, but on occasion I've had people approach me from time to time and talk about how sometimes it's difficult to move things through the city. That permit applications take a long time, or there's kind of nebulous reasons for rejection. And so then when I hear a lot of the citizenry kind of grabs their pitchforks and says, well, I'm just going to do it anyway, and I'm going to ask for permission. So I commend Mr. Murray for coming forward. I'm like, you know, there are other carports in the city that it already exists. I don't know whether they ever apply for permits or not, but I commend them for kind of going through the right process. But I also wonder, what is the, you know, kind of the basis for denying his application to the building permit when there really isn't a specific prohibition against what he wants to do either. So I think it's why to probably come up with some code that can go forward, but then Mr. Murray is sitting there taking months to do what he wants to do.
I think it can be resolved quicker than months, first of all. And two, I've not seen the building department use nebulous reasons for denying. I mean, anytime there's a denial, there's a specific reason for denial that's stated in a letter, whether it's from zoning or the building department. That's not to say that they haven't made mistakes, because there have been mistakes made. And when those mistakes are made, we do work to rectify them. Like I said, in this application's case, there's a zoning issue, but there's also building department issues.
So I did read the letter from the building earlier today. There were kind of four reasons that I got out of the letter. One was the harmony topic we just talked about. We just opened your interpretation.
Right. That's fine. I don't like that code. So this is where there's, I don't know if there's necessarily an error in interpretation, but it's probably a better way to handle something like this.
Right. So I mean, the word harmony can be, you can go, sorry, you can go lots of different directions with that, right? But the city opted to use the direction of not approving the application. The other is the reference to that it may be construed as a portable garage.
I spoke with staff about that one.
Okay.
I don't believe this is a portable garage in the sense that we define a portable garage.
Right. Portable garage is defined in the code as
it's this with the canvas.
A portable shelter constructed with a soft canopy covering. Which this is not. And then the other was temporary, that maybe this was a temporary structure. And when, if we're going to come up with a code, we may want to consider coming up with a code for temporary structures. I didn't find a definition in our code of what a temporary structure is either.
Structure itself.
Yeah, so I mean, whatever was, I could find was when an entity's building may be a commercial building, it might be a trailer on site for 6 months, and it could extend up to 2 years under egregious circumstances. But we really haven't defined what temporary structure is either. So again, I guess what I'm getting at is it seems that the reasons for the denial of this building permit are open to interpretation, but it seems like the city isn't cited in the citizenry on this topic. And I understand with this process, we'll probably come up with some code, but meanwhile, you know, it comes back to that comment, I guess, sometimes when I serve this commission. Sometimes people approach me and say, why is it so hard, so much time to get things done? And then sometimes they just, I hear, I'm just going to go get myself, and I'll ask for forgiveness later. I just wanted to share that part of the experience. And I don't know if Mr. Murray feels this way or not, but it's an observation that he may or may not have. And as I read the letter, as I read the code prior to this meeting, I just was, you know, there wasn't necessarily anything really specific that you could hang your hat on. Like, this is definitely against the code. It's all code. That's just my opinion. So
that's the zoning side. That's not the building side. I would say the building side is very specific in that the proposed structure is 12 by 31 feet, and it's designed for a maximum capacity cell of 30 pounds per square foot. Building code for our area requires something between 42 and 44. Pounds per square foot, so it doesn't need basic engineering. I spoke with the awning or the carport company today, and there is engineered carports that would meet that requirement. Another issue would be how it's fastened to the ground. The proposal is for the carport to be on an existing concrete pad. Well, we don't know the thickness of that pad, and it's not as simple as just bolting it to the ground. There's got to be some engineered specs on how that's bolted, whether it's through piers, whether it's through things of foundation, whether it's through bolt, it's some sort of epoxy that's process that's been approved by this company. This company does have an engineering department where you can get plans. That's important. On a structure this big, you do need engineered plans. You all live in Cedar Hills. You know what kind of winds come whipping through here. We see trampolines get lifted up and thrown into houses all the time. If this isn't anchored down correctly, then this has the potential of being lifted up and thrown. So these are concerns. You know, so when we talk about the police powers of the city, when we talk about the city regulating the health, safety, and general welfare, that's what we're talking about tonight. So it's not just an arbitrary decision of, I understand that there's some real nebulous definitions of what harmony means, but on the building side, there's certain requirements that have to be met. So I think tonight we're talking more about the zoning requirements, which I think can be a little bit more challenging. So I would like to see, because we don't have carport code. Like I said, there's a definition for carport in our codes in the 10-2, but there's nothing that specifically talks about where it can go, how it can go, and, you know.
I suspect there may be some code previous day.
There may have been.
That's why the definitions are there.
There may have been. And so that's why I think that maybe you treat carports as a separate section of the code, and you lay out how they are to be found in the city. But I don't think, that's why I think you need we need, as a staff, we need to have this carport code so that we're not treating them like awnings where they're attached to the building, like decks, patios, porches, but that they're a separate structure and they have their own guidelines. 10.5.30 is the portable utility sheds and utility sheds. I think that carports can fall under that section as well, adding a section specifically for carports. So it's a carports for portable utility sheds and utility sheds.
Does that section have a material finish requirement?
No, it doesn't. And that's why the harmony issue becomes problematic. What shed is in harmony with the main dwelling? So that's, you kind of touched on the point. But if it's attached to the dwelling, you do want it to be in harmony with the dwelling. But if it's not, then how much do we care?
So I care if it's a nice hot dog container. Yeah, hot dog pound inside the table. What do my fellow commissioners your thoughts or questions?
I just want to make sure I understand the status of this particular application. Was there an issue with the material finish?
There is, but that's one of the citations, as Chairman Riggs stated, is that it's not the same material as the hall. So a strict reading of the code says it's not in harmony with the code. Well, the strict reading of the code also says that, are we talking about carports here?
Well, treating is on it.
It's probably a mistake.
Yeah.
So that's why I think because there is not any code specifically related to the zoning of the carports, I think this application can precede any code that does relate to the zoning of carports, which means that what this application would be subject to is the building code. And that is tied down
That's state code, right?
It's not state code, but
what
it is the building code. The building code is developed internationally. IBC and IRC, International Residential Code, and International Building Code. The city's adopted both of them.
Right.
So this would fall under IBC, I believe.
Well, I think there's a legitimate issue of not having things constructed inferior material, both from a structural and a cosmetic point of view.
Okay, yeah.
But I do think that there's always going to be some room for interpretation. So, as I read this, this is staff or the inspector, whoever it is, that's making the inspection of discretion. And I personally don't have too much heart behind that.
It's a lot of discretion. I would like it tied down a little bit.
Well, one possibility might be to then have a list of acceptable material.
Well, maybe perhaps we need to look for the structure of the roof so that we know that it can carry the load that we want it to. So we could be more specific about that.
Isn't it that the structure meets IBC construction standards, it does or it doesn't?
Typically, these types of buildings are prefabricated and they come with a set of engineering plans. Each building has its own set. And so you just need to pick the right building with the right set of engineering plans for your area and your conditions.
It's like you gave the chef.
Pretty much.
Okay. Is this something we should consider that maybe would become a conditional use permit based on the circumstances or?
Typically based on state trainings I've attended, they should be approved administratively. But the way you've got to think about conditional use permits is that they are permitted with conditions. But it's not a modern may I. When you grant something as a conditional use in a zone, you're saying that it's okay for it to be in this zone as long as you can mitigate any detrimental impacts that it may have in the zone. So let's think about that in terms of the carport. Noise, any sort of pollution, light, pollution, trash, garbage. It's not really producing a whole lot of negative side effects. The only negative side effect is if it gets picked up and thrown into your yard. But with that, there are probably certain buildings, I use that term very loosely, like Lansing used to do. We talked about this a couple months ago. We'll bring this back to this in the planning commission. You don't want to all of a sudden open up the definition of an accessory structure to include a land sea use container, right? You want, because we have people out of time asking for them to put those types of containers as sheds in their yard, and we don't allow that based on that material. But if they plop one in their yard and they put stucco around it, some hardy board and some shingles on the top, who's the wiser?
So you're talking about, in this application, this case, it's proceeding and changing the code.
Correct. And so I think that, from my point of view, I think that there's enough latitude here where it's not clear cut that anything is specifically related to carports. And so, well, let's say you're in an HOA, and your HOA specifically prohibited carports. Well, that's another thing that's different. That's different in this situation entirely. But in many instances where you have an individual such as Mr. Moyer who does not live in an HOA, and there's no other restrictions on the property other than what city code states, as a city, should you care if there's a carport there?
Well, if this body is to recommend and interpret code,
that's what I'm saying is that if you allow it, this is if we carve out a portion of code specifically related to carports, you've got to understand that it applies to all of the city,
right?
Unless an HOA specifically calls out and says not in our area.
Well, an HOA could be more restrictive, but it could be lax.
Right.
So, I mean, the carports that I'm more familiar with are small. This seems like 31 feet.
What? Is the driver dimensions right? 12 by 31?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's parking RV.
I understand, like a Greyhound bus can go in, and I get that. But if it were an accessory structure, if it were a standalone building like a barn or large shed or something like that, would it be those size requirements and setbacks and everything?
Would it meet setback requirements?
Yeah, I mean, would it comply the same as
a building? Mm-hmm. Mr. Murray has a large lot, and this is on the existing pad. I don't see an issue with the proposed building in relation to any property rights.
Hi.
Hi, Tim. Even on accessory structures, you can go up to 20 feet.
Do we just change it to 25?
So how do we change that?
In one zone, it's 25. 20 is kind of a standard.
Well, so my opinion, similar to the public. So, Mr. Murray, I think you have a great looking RV, but I prefer you have a carport over it that was, earth tone or some not starting white or something like that. It'd probably be less obtuse to me actually. But it's up to you whether you build one or not build one, right? But I'm just saying that I think it'd be actually an improvement, at least from my perspective, to if he was to put it in what he's describing the way.
Well, I don't think any of us here are even arguing against that.
Yeah, no,
I don't think that's the issue at all.
I'm not even arguing against it. I want to be clear. I'm not arguing against the carport, right?
Okay,
so I have no problem.
So let's draft some code for carports then. And I know city staff or you, Chandler, have done research, and maybe somebody in this body can take it on as assignment to do some research.
I've looked at some other charts for code and other things. I couldn't find a lot of code on carports. I'm grateful for that this afternoon.
Yes.
I don't think we have any questions about building.
Well, how about the building, right?
Not the
building, but we can't really change the building.
Right, so that
is what it
says that aside.
So, I mean, let me ask you this thing. Maybe I feel a little unfair. Would you rather treat the carport as a carport, which maybe sounds ridiculous, or as an accessory structure, which is more of a vague term that may have different implications?
I think it matters if it's attached to the home.
I think it does too.
I think a carport could be.
If it's attached to the home, I think it falls cleanly under 10.5.29.
As an awning.
As an awning. In this case, it's not attached to the home, so.
We could also bring that code up to say attached carports in that code if we want to.
And then
I think they should go in accessory structures if it
needs. I do too.
I'm going to reserve opinion because I haven't read the accessory structure code as of late, and I'd like to see if there were belongings in there. But,
I mean, it's essentially like putting like a pole barn on both sides. It's the same thing.
But some people build sides on the carport because it doesn't have a door, they can call it a carport. So I think you have to be careful.
I'm joking.
What is the, speaking of carports and the quantity of carports in our city, what's the consequence of people that have these in the city that there's no code, there's no consequence, right? The code for people that
do these things. That's right, my understanding of Mike on the public record, there's no consequence. No, anytime you build a building without a permit, you run certain risks. And those risks typically involve insurance. So if something happens to that carport smashes into your home, like you didn't anchor correctly, and a big wind picks it up and smashes into your home, and the insurance company comes and says, well, we want to see the building permits and the approvals for this carport. Well, it wasn't. So your claim is probably going to be denied. That comes to the top of my mind immediately. But also, I mean, you could file a lien against the property. Probably be the first to go. In extreme instances, the building official, the chief zoning official, could file, or they could mandate that the structure be torn down if it's so egregious. And that could even go so far as to a court order mandate to tear down.
You can sign it.
You can't sign this.
Is it in the code now, though?
In what?
Liens on houses and to be singles.
I guess the city has the police powers. And typically it's a class B misdemeanor.
I have a question. So sure. Could it be in the definitions listed 2 weeks? Can you say attached carports and put that under that deck's awnings that kind of thing? And then say unattached C10530 and put unattached under portable utility shed. I mean not portable, I mean so it's 10530B, and so that it falls under that, we say unattached carport is falling here, so that it sort of meets this. It has to be a hard surface. We have to have code there that would say how that's fastened, whether it's putting this.
That portion should be in the building code.
Oh,
and I kind of already in my notes have. That's kind of the direction I was actually going to go.
Okay.
Is decks, porches, patios, pergolas, awnings, cross off hot tubs, but they are attached, or in many cases they're within inches of the home, right? Because in some cases people build decks but they don't attach it to the home, or they build the deck and they attach it to the home. It's done both ways. So that's this 10.5.29 is a structure that is adjacent to the home in a very literal sense. The portable utility sheds, and the carport in this application's instance is more in line with an accessory structure on the property. I mean, a portable utility shed, you can come in, lift up on skids, and move really quickly. A carport, if it's not anchored down, is a temporary garage or a portable garage. It may not have the canvas, but it is quickly easily moved.
That's why the attachment matters to the ground. So I was kind of going in that direction already. I haven't really fleshed out how I'm going to do it now.
So our next planning commission meeting, then I suspect we have an agenda item. Some carport revision, either as on its own or part of another section. I think we should probably also consider defining what a temporary structure is. It seems like that's a little bit pervasive throughout the code.
I put that one on.
I couldn't find a definition for it.
Well, there's not definitions for everything. That's probably one we should have one. As it pertains to Mr. Murray's application, I'm going to be working with staff to process the application prior to the adoption of any code.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's not delaying, I'm sure. No, that's, I don't know that that's fair to him to see what the eventual carport code is, and even when he does his application proceeds it anyway. So, like I said, I think the biggest issue with that is building code, not necessarily zoning code.
Okay, so let's say it's not attached, we're eventually going to. Are you guys working on the application for material, color, materials, type, that kind of thing? These things that we will be putting into code later anyway? Or does that mean accessory building? You think accessory building?
I don't know. That's the thing. Any accessory building, I could try to give my narrow definition of what it is, and the next day I'll give an application of the throw and throw loop. So
okay.
I really don't know.
Well, that's this body can also. Right.
So this is a piece of code. I honestly, right now, I don't know how it's going to look. I have some ideas, but I think it's going to take a meeting or two with the planning commission and city council to kind of work through some things, as well as going through the attorneys and having them take a look at it as well.
Any more discussion on this topic before we go on to the next one?
I just think we really should pursue any of those changes or recommend those changes.
Yeah. All right, the next topic on the agenda is review action on conceptual plan for approval of the property located on the corner of Redwood Road and Cedar Hills Drive in the SC1 commercial zone.
All right, we have the emergency. Can you see that? I typically see it. I apologize. Well, let me walk you through it.
I have some hard copies.
You do?
I printed it out.
Okay.
You got it here.
So this, if you're not familiar with this lot, this is, as the map indicates, this is Cedar Hills Drive. This is the roundabout of Cedar Hills Drive. This is Redwood Road and 4600.
This is east of the snow shack that was there last
year. Snow shack would be.
It is the snow shack.
Approximately right there?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so this is the snow shack picture. There's a retention basin right here. This is the Walmart, this is the church area. Smart property is across the street. So there's.
Sorry, retention basin is where?
Up there. Okay. This retention basin is for the Walmart building. Okay. So.
And this is a separate parcel, already been subdivided off from the Walmart?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was part of that development. They showed it as one of those lots. And so this is the development before that lot.
It has now signs on it.
It has what?
Those large signs.
Yes, it's had those signs for years. The only other thing I've ever heard proposed to be on this property was a skate park. Interesting enough. So we're excited about this proposal. But this is a concept plan, and on the concept plans, the Planning Commission does take action. So that's what we have for you. And the concept plan, there's not really any requirements of a concept plan. It's just show us what you're thinking, we'll give you some high-level input, and then you'll go back and do a plan set design. So what this is it's a little bit hard to see with all the light changes on the screen, but this is a approximately 20,000 square foot building that kind of wraps around the corner here that would be kind of similar to how Lexington Height is wrapped, is pushed up against the very corner. And you have some greenscape between the curb and the actual building. But this is a 20,000 square foot building. They are showing 84 parking stalls with 4 ADA stalls. And this gray line of the graphs that's going through here is a 24 foot fire lane. I've sent this design over to Chief Thompson at Lone Peak Safety Distance for a review. And I haven't received word yet on what his thoughts are, but one thing we'll want to do is, as the preliminary plans come in, we'll want to make sure that these turn radius fire engine can get through without any problems. Bellhawks also want to be obviously to show the location of fire engines. So yeah, this is just a concept plan, and it is it's an interesting use, and I'm going to actually defer to you guys if you want to introduce kind of what your project is. This is Eric Larson.
I'm Eric Larson. I'm actually the commercial real estate broker. I work for Colliers International. Tyler Tiberius is the owner of the project. And like Chandler said, I lived in Cedar Hills for some time now. That's kind of sad and deep. Tyler bought it from the company who's had a site on it for quite a while. Ours just barely kind of went up recently. We've thrown a few concepts up, and this is one that we feel like that is in a little bit of demand, and that we could really get something going without bringing bringing tax-based use to the commercial areas. So this is kind of a retail flex product that we're looking to propose that we think can work. I actually, and I don't know if I can show some of these. Okay. So we've been going back with A.E. Irvia, who's our architect. They put together this conceptual drawing based on kind of what our instructions were and what we feel like the demand for the area is without building a building that's not going to be profitable or stable or anything like that. They could also provide amenities to local residents who might be otherwise taking that same business into town, closer to town. The idea of the project is something similar to what I've got here. I've got three different properties that we've gone and taken pictures of. I'll hand these out. You guys can pass them down. I'll kind of keep it in order as they are to projects that are existing or that are a part of the urban project. This is one that's off of University Parkway in Orem. So that's the front, and that's the rear. This is one on in American Fork off of Audemars Drive. This one, similarly, these three are Audemars Drive as well. Because of the uniqueness of the lot and kind of where it's on the corner, the aesthetics that we're trying to maintain as it faces Cedar Hills Drive and Redwood Road would be the front facades like you're seeing in our rear facades. Our rear facades would be nicer than those ones there because they would kind of be some of the main entrances, but there also would be ground level doors. We talked to Chandler and read over the code to make sure we adhere to construction material types and heights restrictions and things that would be appropriate for the area, and we would adhere to that. Some of the uses that we think that would be ideal for that kind of location. Even CrossFit, Karate Studios, Dance Studios, kind of have a taller ceiling and concept. You'd be able to walk in and it would have an office type of concept that would open up into anything from a. You'll see the office essentially dance studios and sports facilities and things like that. You'll also see fulfillment and other things like that. Even Chandler was talking about a bike repair shop who was kind of. Wants to move out of a house that's over here and move into something. This would be a perfect application for something like that. A very low park kind of thing. It's not tended, featured for restaurant or food places. We think that kind of drive-by retail really isn't conducive to this area, and we don't think it would succeed here. That would probably go out on the main road where you got the traffic count. So this would kind of be the place. For something like that. So we would be essentially offering them for sale. Potentially we're looking at for sale or lease, condominiumizing those with firewalls to about 2,000, somewhere between 1,500 to 2,500 probably square foot individual units that could be for sale or lease. So it's kind of the concept that we put together. We'd love any feedback from you guys.
So there would be what? Units altogether?
Yeah, about 10. Yeah, it depends on what we find could work, but we think that the magic number for that is probably I don't think exceeding 2,500, maybe 3,000 square feet max per individual unit. Now, we don't have to build the interior walls initially, so we can market it as a shell, and if someone came in, they wanted two units or three units, or maybe a larger, I don't know, karate studio or dance studio that needs more, than we could just not, you know, not put in the demising wall between that and have 5,000.
I have a couple of questions about it. You're showing like warehousing, like garage type, warehouse type doors?
Yeah, similar to the Walmart.
Yeah, the Walmart's got one on the back, and they've got a lane form on the back. You don't have a back here, you just have a front where people park and walk in.
Well, that's not even something
for trucks to back anything in there.
Yeah, so I think the idea for the concept that the front would actually, the front image would be that the ones facing Redwood, and we can have entrances there, but the where you park and come across would be that way. If you, yeah, so I don't think we're intending to have semi-truck fulfillment. Box trucks probably would be the maximum that you probably expect to see there. We don't see this as an industrial flex space where you're really going to see, I mean, to a level of fulfillment and where someone might be packaging, let's say, for example, someone started an energy packet and they do it at a house and it starts to get successful and they're kind of grown out of their garage. This would be a great next step for them to do something like that. They usually aren't receiving the shipping to the extent of semi-trucks, and I don't know that that's the conducive way to be. And we don't have dock type doors. It would be a single ground level door per unit along that. What would be considered the backside that's facing Walmart and the aesthetic park, you know, we will have something similar to as you're seeing, maybe a walk entrance door from the main sidewalk, but because of the uniqueness and the shape of the lot, this is kind of the best way we can kind of put something together and make the best of both worlds.
Well, that actually answered my second question, which I was highly concerned that the east and southeast faces here would be back.
No, it would be the other way around.
Because that would be really.
I understand.
Okay, so that's fine.
And
the garage doors up here.
Yeah, they'd be a little.
Yeah.
And there'll be parking spots in front of them.
Sure.
So they can, but that'll be like their own, and they can choose to park it or not, if they can use the door.
Yeah. A dance studio may use their garage door when they're bringing in and out pads, you know, when they initially move it and stuff, but it's fulfilling.
Because in the spring, you just open them up for fresh air.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So people will park in the back, you walk around different.
No, there would be an entrance on the back.
Okay.
So like you see in some of those pictures, you got an overhead door and a man door.
Okay.
Yeah. And the man door wouldn't have to be, like on some of those it's a steel man door, because on some of those sites that we took pictures, they're existing sites, they are more site obscured and their main entrance can be in front. But the way that this lot lays out, and to keep this set, is because I think your code states that you can't have the garage doors on the front of the building.
Right.
So in order to keep those doors on the back, this is the concept we can do, so the people that drive by can still have a nice aesthetically looking good building with your glass and your awnings and your pop outs and whatever you need for that side. In the back, we can still dress it up fairly nice, but that we would have to have around the middle of that door there.
In the interest of disclosure, a building like you're describing is where I work today.
Yeah. And they're actually
an office building, and then we have a building like this where the work gets done, and there are offices in it, but there are also.
And we tested the waters a little bit with office pads here, and I don't know, we're just not getting interest. I know that you've had vacancy across the street, so in interest of what we think is successful in your project that can have work in the city, and you may see people that are traveling outside the city to go do their fulfillment business with three or four employees out in American Fork, where we could keep them here at home, you know, if we can make this work. So that's our idea, concept.
So the elevation facing the street, it'll match the colonial,
the best, colonial, whatever we have to do to make that work. Some of them that I sent you guys, I really like the one that you guys see, the very first one I handed around on University Parkway. So this is a good one. These units are a little bit larger, but I think we can match it. This is Brubaker stuff. You guys might know that, Brubaker. I can understand ginger bedding this look a little bit more, but, you know, getting some, you know, some timbers and things in like this, but also keeping parapet pinches that match that colonial look. But this is one that Larry McComb did. This has three different materials. You got, you know, your insulated steel, nice looking steel it's not like corrugated steel, like you guys used to see it with some block and some hardy board and, you know, with some awnings and stuff like that. It was some different pitches. But we could get you know, the design committee and stuff to give us some feedback on how we like that to look from the street.
So my first observation was that I feel like since your renderings are fairly far from the point of the build,
keep in mind that we're in concept phase here. So
right.
I mean, really the only submission requirement is this, it could have even been done on a napkin. So as the plan set comes through on the preliminary plan phase, I think that's where we get a little more hung up on the colonial aspect on all four sides, because if you remember right, I mean, we're not building Mount Vernon here, that's Highland, but we do want the facade as you drive along Redwood Road and see that drive to have a look that is in congruence with the rest of the commercial area.
But also any less colonial than Walmart.
Yeah. When you drive around the front here, it's going to have a certain aesthetic as well. So it's not lost as you make the corner here. And I think when they do their plan set, they'll show the elevations for the facade along the road, along the roundabout, and then especially on the interior of the access. So the preliminary plan set will also include your engineer utilities. It will show how they're draining the property.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at here is really, like I said, high level saying, here's what we're proposing. Give us a thumbs up or thumbs down on moving into more of an engineer phase.
So you came before this group previously. If memory serves, you had more than one building in your initial.
So we were testing boards with office pad sites, individual pad sites. So maybe shorter ceilings, pads, just no interest.
So this would be the only thing we do here.
Correct.
So
yeah,
that's
to maximize our
something else.
Yeah, we maximized our footprint for this site, right? Something like this.
And going back to the comment earlier about trucks and ramps and things like that. I'm somewhat familiar with the fulfillment business, especially in the online world and, you know, inventory and things like that. A lot of trucks coming and going, boxes and parcels and things of that nature may pile up outside.
We wouldn't allow ground storage here. No outer storage.
So I guess the point is we may want to consider some size of parking stall, some type of place for delivery or spot.
We could look at that. I know that usually that the box trucks will back up right into or up against, or like I think your concern might be in the interim if they're parked at an angle outside and they come in and they're coming in with a lift.
So how they park in front of the car looks like because they're in a hurry right there. They'll drop off those boxes.
Box trucks also, I was at the doctor's office Nick yesterday. They parked in the middle of the parking lot, in the middle of the drive up. They're going to park
right
in one car.
That's my point. They do that in part because there's no place else.
Yeah.
So,
and you see UPS and things to this size and nature, which is a lot.
I know this is not in detail yet, but I don't forget the garbage can.
Yeah.
There's not a designated site, but you've got to show a plot, a place where the truck can get in, access the dumpster. I think they're going to go probably up here, so you can get the dumpster up. Access it, and then back up and drive out.
And I think the level that you see of fulfillment things may be completely outweighed by, something close to residences like this, it oftentimes gets taken by dance business products, things that really cater to the rooftops, but also it can be something that would work for someone like that fulfillment or otherwise.
I see a lot of entrepreneurial activity in all these cities around here.
Yeah.
And then the startup businesses and houses, and then the next place you have to go is basically to leave this whole corner
in here.
Go out to PG, go out to AF, go out to Cabin. I looked around a lot for something like this and couldn't find anything for my businesses. And that's what got me thinking that it would make a lot of sense to have something like this here. Just kind of the next step of growth for a company out of the house, and then they'd probably grow past this and go on to something 10,000 square feet.
There's a raised crosswalk on Redwood Road. That's the one We do have that. I believe it's further. Is it further on the road?
Yes, that's yeah. The you've got the what's that called? The retention basin, right?
Right
next to it.
There's like then there's a whole that raised crosswalk is up immediately before the stop sign.
Which is
a lot farther.
Okay.
I just want to make sure it wasn't enter that.
And I mean, this site's pretty much improved to the point that ingress and egress are already like.
Oh, okay, that's one, sorry.
So, yeah, if you commented on the right, is that the retention basin and ambulance system?
Jim, what's in comparison to where Marcos and Great Clips is, this footprint, what is it compared to?
Marcos, okay, so yeah, that's a good question. The Dollar Tree is 8,000 square feet.
Okay.
And the Marcos Pizza is, and that building, those buildings are, I believe, 4,000 square feet.
So this is twice the size.
Twice the size of the Dollar Tree, plus a little more.
And compared to the dentist office?
Probably not as big as Lexington Heights. So I can get an exact square footage.
And this is already a single story, right?
Single story, tall single story, yeah.
Single story, but like imagine it up to close to 30 feet, I'd say. High ceilings on the inside.
If the inside is probably going to have about 22 foot clear height, and then, you know, 2 to 4 foot trusses, and then whatever the parapets. But our parapets, we can't exceed 35 feet at any part of the building. That's the code. So
right.
We would be under that.
Your nearest homes are the ones that are immediately to the north.
Yeah.
So they're, nothing backs up immediately to the property.
And it's not going to be taller than Walmart, right?
No.
Say that again.
It'll be shorter than Walmart.
It's similar to Walmart's height, maybe shorter. I mean, we don't want to be less than 22 feet clear because if someone were to put it on one pallet rack, three pallets high, it's a lot of like
right.
18 clear than 18 feet. Yeah.
So let's belabor the point more times on this one tonight. So is there public access on Railroad Road? Yes or no? Like, there's doors on both sides of the building?
Yeah, Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out why
the park would
walk all the way around the building to enter.
Our code actually wants you to let the building up. That's always been kind of the...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just trying to figure out...
If we could put the garage doors on the front, we just put it on the other way around. But
on this side?
Yeah.
So that's the point of not having doors at all. That's not
cool. We would be fine with
that.
We thought that's what you guys wanted because you're right, it would be a little weird for people that would walk around. But we might have to have something there fire.
I don't believe that Lexington Heights has doors on that side.
No.
Unless they're like an emergency.
They have one door in the middle.
Yeah,
one
in the middle and a
long way. So, each location does not have an access on.
You're
that.
Right.
No.
And I think it has to do with how far it is from the front to the back of another main exit.
They have a main corridor inside, so you can access like.
I just human nature about the parking car.
No, I think what it might be is one of the tenants or something that, like the car stairs when they open up, where they can go out to the grass anchors. But it's probably not the main entrance.
So architecturally, as far as you know, creative architectural things you can do, is having doors in the front limit you, or if you get no doors at all, get more flexibility, do more creative things, and door.
Windows or doors
on the straight side. I think it's more about just making it look right than whatever the fire code is.
Yeah.
All the businesses have to come back. We thought about trying to actually put the aisle in the front and have a little bit of parking in the front and have doors and move the building back. But then it kind of messes up. In your code, there is no classification for shop, for just like general open space. So we need like 4 parking spots per 1,000, so we need to maximize parking.
I mean, I don't have a problem with those doors, I just don't think.
The other thing I think too, it might be nice.
What do you even want to worry about is if there are doors on the front. Mind you, I kind of like the idea of doors on the front. Here's the thing,
right?
The people are going to park here as they go.
Yeah, well, and I don't think if we
get not, there's a whole ditch there and everything.
That's not, I know.
No, it's
yeah, they park there now. They park there.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wonder about, and this is just me brainstorming, is as people buy and purchase or lease these units, and that's kind of the shop. Let's say there is a dentistry that both takes one of those units. They may want to sign it somewhere on there, and something to distinguish their unit and like cabinet bells or something like that. Some kind of awning, and the awning usually goes over a door or something like that. So I don't know. We're open to whatever.
We're getting way more detailed.
It doesn't have to be hands.
I don't really have an issue with our kind of temporis, but I don't really have issues in us pretty easy stuff because it helps you in your next phase.
Right. Yeah, but you should need the feedback.
And, you know, any other thoughts, questions? I didn't really hear any specific criteria that would need to be in the motion here.
Anyone in the debate wants to make one.
What would a motion sound like? on this, are we recommending that?
I would just say to approve the conceptual plan.
Yeah,
do you have any
conceptual plan
subdivision?
Not yet.
Yeah, we'll make it right now.
Cedar Hills Spec Retail.
Our business partners. I don't know that one thing is on it.
Come up with
just say it's the parcel west of.
Located Cedar Hills Drive.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
I like
that. I
move that we approve the conceptual plan for the commercial development located on Cedar Hills Drive and Riverwood Road on the northwest side, northwest corner.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There's none. That motion passes.
Thank you.
I'm going to be adjourned.
You want to be adjourned? Are you sure?
Do we have something to
tell?
I'll second that motion as well.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. I'm going to propose to you.